Blog Talk Radio.
New direction.
protection, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today.
Thank you, thank you, Jehoshua. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. What a good God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you, praise you. Mighty, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua. Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Thank you. Welcome to the Lord Yahweh. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful for the opportunity that God gave us to come and share his word. Amen. Before the return of Jesus. My brother, my sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. There's so much happening. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We know that there's a lot of concern in Florida with the hurricane coming in, my brother and sister. I want to ask each and one of you to join me in prayer for the family, the people that are in the middle of this hurricane, that God will give them peace through the process, through the time of going through it. Mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, we pray for the family, Lord, that are going to go through this, hallelujah, hurricane, Lord, for these few days. Lord Jesus, give them peace, hallelujah, and give them protection. In Jesus' name, give them wisdom, Lord, hallelujah, to protect, hide themselves, Lord, while this hurricane goes by. In Jesus' name, we come in agreement. Thank you, Lord. We thank Jesus that, hallelujah, we pray that the other hurricane that will come into the islands will dissipate itself, because the media has said they will be bigger than the Fiola, the other hurricane, and the Lord dissipated them, and they came to be a nothing. And this hurricane that we thought, that we thought it would not be anything, it became something. My brother and sister, category 4 now. I said, wow, because we didn't think much of it. We did pray that the other hurricane would dissipate, and God dissipated them quickly. In a couple of days, they were gone. The media could not even find them. That's the power of our God. I told you that if we pray, God will do it, and he did it. Nothing. My mom called me from the island after the first hurricane and said that there were two more coming, even worse, that the media was talking about. I said, Mom, don't worry about it. We're going to pray. And I haven't talked back to my mom yet. But as far as we know, the other one had dissipated. It's the power of our God, my brother, my sister, that we can always trust the Lord. So this hurricane, we took it for granted. It was small. They said it may not even become a hurricane. And look at that. Then I was like, man, we probably should have prayed for that one also to be dissipated. But it's already here. Hallelujah, my brother and sister, hallelujah. So the power of God, it is incredible, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to begin tonight's Bible study. We're going to go into different revelation of this Bible study. Hallelujah, because this morning I was taken to heaven, and I'm going to share what it was shown to me there, because the Lord wanted to bring me there as he promised me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Jesus. I spoke with her. She's in the island on the phone. And my brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. the teaching, I believe, hallelujah, talking to the Lord in prayer this morning, there was certain things the Lord says to me in regard to what I'm going to be talking about tonight, that I'm going to be honest, some of the information, maybe even most, I didn't know. I wasn't sure. There's a lot of things you hear, but unless the Lord confirmed them to you, you don't know. We always have to wait on the Lord and wait until he confirmed to us his word, his revelation. My brother, my sister. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his love, his mercy, his patience. He is a rabbi. He is our teacher. My mom, God uses her back in the island, and she's preaching. She calls me on the phone to tell me the victory she's having, and I congratulate my mom. I love my mom very much, my brother and sister, very, very much. I never talk back to my mom and disrespecting her, no way. My mom, God, I used her mightily in my life, and praying for her to be in saving and come to the Lord. And now seeing where God is using my mother, it gives me such a joy. My brother and sister, she has become a mighty warrior for the Lord, mighty intercessor. She's preaching to the family back in the island, and she's leading people to Christ, which is, hallelujah, so powerful. And I thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. A man came to a rabbinic class and asked the rabbi, "Rabbi, I come to the group of the rabbi," he says, "why is it that when I ask a rabbi a question, you answer me back with a question?" And one of the rabbis said back to him, "So how do you want us to answer you?" He answered back with a question. And to show you that Jesus was a rabbi like the Jewish people, the Bible said that he came to his own, and his own received it not. He is a rabbi like his brother, like his brothers in Israel, my brother and sister. And I'm going to show you by the word that many times the disciple came to Jesus to ask him a question, and he answered them back with another question, my brother and sister. In Matthew 9:4, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why think ye evil in your heart?" You know, by now, we're used to, my brother and sister, as Gentile, that if someone asks us a question, we answer back with an answer. We never answer back with a question. But a Jewish rabbi, you ask them a question, and they answer you back with a question. Okay? Here's the thinking, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Only God knows the solution and the answer to every question. And it's in your individual relationship with God that you are going to get from God your question answer, my brother and sister. But when God wants to teach you and you ask him a question, he's going to answer you with another question. Jesus asking these men, my brother and sister, why were they thinking this in their heart when he already knew what was in their heart? He already knew the answer to the question. The question is not whether God knows it. It's whether you know it. See, God answers you back with a question because God knows everything. God all knows things. The question is, do you understand? Rabbis say that in the day, hallelujah, in the day you understand the question that you're asking, you will not have the problem anymore. Well, hallelujah. When the disciple had doubt, Jesus said to them, "Why do you doubt?" He knew why do they doubt. But the disciple knew why did they doubt. You see, God, Jesus is always right. His thinking is right. Our thinking is left. basically, my brother and sister, we got to get right with God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We need to get right with him. He doesn't need to get right with us because he's already right. We're on the left, my brother and sister. We need to get right with him. Hallelujah. And when you seek from God, the Holy Spirit will reveal you the answer. This even Jesus said that don't worry what you're going to answer on that day because it will be given to you by the Holy Spirit. The answer comes to you from the one who's inside of you. So if you're trying to ask a brother, a teacher, a master, whoever it is, a prophet, a question, we are supposed to ask you the question back again with another question. We're supposed to answer you with another question because we don't have the answer to every question. Only God does. And it's your relationship with God. You cannot form a relationship with God through someone. Your relationship gets formed with God directly. So when you ask a question to a rabbi, he's going to answer you with another question because he doesn't know the answer to every question. He understands that only God has the answer that you're looking for, not him. Not him. In humility, we only have questions. In pride, we think we have the answer. So when someone asks you a question and you go there and you answer your answer because you already think you know, and someone say, wow, that was great, and you pump up your chest, and you're like, I know the answer. No, you don't. Every individual is different before the Lord, and only God knows the heart. You and I don't know the heart, the mind, the understanding. And being so knowledgeable, thinking that you have the answer to all the questions, that is pride. And mostly we walk in pride. We need to repent pride and die in unbelief. My brother, my sister, I want to share with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John 20. In John chapter 20, verse 13. Hallelujah. Mary comes to the tomb of Jesus on the Sunday morning. My brother and sister. Okay? Jesus knew why was Mary crying when she went to the tomb, my brother and sister. But look so you see how God teaches us. Please pay attention. Look how God teaches us. They said unto her, woman, why weepeth thou? My brother and sister, God knows everything. God knows everything. Okay? But did Mary know why she was crying? No. Not by the book. Not by the knowledge of God. She didn't know why she was crying. My brother and sister, because if she was believing the prophet Isaiah, that he said that he will be crucified, but on the third day he will risen again, there was no reason for Mary to be crying, my brother and sister. You understanding here what's going on here? Because if you find yourself in this situation today, the Lord is going to ask you a question. Do you know why, my son? Do you know why, my daughter, are you crying? Why are you worried? Why are you doubting? He's going to ask you. Are you ready to answer that to the Lord? Are you ready to answer the Lord? Why are you worried? Why are you crying? Why are you so concerned? Hallelujah. Why are you weeping? Hallelujah. Why is that problem concerning you? Praise the Lord. Because he would ask you this question. You're coming to him. Hallelujah. And he comes out and turns around and asks you the question. Because he's a rabbi. He's teaching us. He is teaching Mary at this moment. Mary was worried and concerned at this moment. And he asking Mary, why are you crying? Why are you crying, Mary? Praise the Lord. If you would have been there and someone prideful would have been there, oh, your God, you should have known why she's crying. You see where pride gets in the way? Can you understand where pride gets in the way? Because someone else would have said, especially someone that thinks they know everything, oh, you God, you should know why she's crying. Huh? No, that's pride. That is pride. Because this is between Mary and God now. This is between Mary and God now, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. But this teaching is for you and I. Her rabbi is asking her, why are you crying, Mary? Hallelujah. Why are you crying? Praise Jesus. And she said, because they have taken him away, my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. My brother and sister, she is worried about something that she should not be worried about. Just like there are a lot of people today worry about things that they should not be worried about. My brother and sister, she is worried about something she should not be worried about. Where was Jesus and where did they put his body? Should it not be her concern? Hallelujah. Her knowledge, her understanding of God should have been God prophesied to his prophet that his Christ will be crucified and buried. But on the third day, God said, God promised he will be risen again. Thank you, Jesus. You got to stand on the word with God. Thank you, Lord, because God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he will repent, my brother and sister. And he's teaching Mary here something, and you and I. And when then she had thus said, she turned around and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. You see the problem here? It was Jesus she was talking to, my brother and sister. What happened to Job through his trial? For my ear has heard of thee, but now my eye see you. It's an encounter one-on-one with God that each believer, that each Christian need to have with the Lord, that only the Lord can provide between you, him and you. Not any man, him and you. You and the Lord. Hallelujah. This is between you and God. No one can provide you the revelation that he can provide to you one-on-one, where he can reveal himself to you and answer, hallelujah, your heart prayer, your heart petition, my brother and sister. This is between you and God. And a lot of people like to get men between them and God. Oh, pastor, you come here. Oh, you minister, you come here. No, 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 you step aside. You step aside. This is between me and the Lord. As Joshua said, for me and the Lord, for my house, and hallelujah, we will serve the Lord. It was between him and the Lord. The children of Israel have become disobedient. And Joshua says, no, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You want to continue your ways and your wicked ways? That's your problem between you and God. But me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Your personal relationship with God, you don't let no one come in between that. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to her, hallelujah. Look at the other question of Rabbi Jesus. Because only a rabbi answered you, hallelujah, a question with a question. And this is what the Jewish rabbis are known for. And Jesus is a Jewish, my brother and sister. Jewish rabbis are known answering you a question with a question. And Jesus now said, Jesus said unto her, woman, weepest thou again. Again, she's still concerned, where is his body? Where have you put my Lord? And Jesus turned around again with another question to her. He's a rabbi. He is a rabbi, my brother and sister. The same thing when he appeared to the 11 and Thomas, hallelujah, the 10, and Thomas was not there. Hallelujah. And when he appeared to Thomas, he said, Thomas, hallelujah, Thomas, why did you not believe? He knew why Thomas did not believe. He knew. This is an answer that God knew. But the Thomas knew. Hallelujah. That he knew why did he doubt. My Lord, my God. Do you know why are you doubting? And the day you learn why, you won't doubt anymore. You need to know why. Why is there unbelief in your life? Why? Once you find out why there's unbelief on you, the problem goes away because you begin to repent, my brother and sister. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know him where they have laid him. And when he had thus said, she turned around and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Look at the third question. Who do you seek? Who Be you sick? Because the Lord is asking you tonight that same question. Who are you seeking? Who are you serving? Who is your Lord? Who is your master? Do you know? Do you know your Lord? Do you know your master? Because you're going to learn that the disciple was the same. But in the book of Acts, Peter now acts as a rabbi. He's asking questions now. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. The ones who become a rabbi, hallelujah, you know that the answer only comes from God. And now all you have is questions. Praise God, because you know God is the answer. I think, look, who are you seeking? Who are you serving? Who is your God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. I know people love the prophetic. And that's basically what we teach you on Tuesday. And we're going to go into it. We're going to go into Revelation 10. We're going to go into the prophetic. And we're going to see certain things there. My brother and sister, for the last day, Jesus is about to return for his bride that have made herself ready. The bride that have ready herself. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. She's supposed him to be the gardener and said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him sins, tell me where thou have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Huh. When he calls your name, when he says your name, you're not the same. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. You're not the same when he calls you by your name. And in the 3 days of darkness, hallelujah, after 3 days of darkness, so I would say by the end, he's going to call us by name to send us out in the revival. He already showed me this. He was standing in front of me, but he first called me before him by name, Alvy. And I was immediately transferring my glorified body before him. And then I saw him calling all the other brothers and sisters. They were immediately what he called them by name in front of him, change and transform. This is why you need to understand what we are talking about tonight, because this is between you and God. Set anyone aside. Set me aside. Set anyone aside. This is between you and God. Do you know him? Do you know your Lord? Praise the Lord. When you hear his calling, when he calls you by name, because he's going to call you by name, Mary, she turned herself. She turned herself. My brother, something happened in Mary. When Jesus says, Mary, something happened to her. My brother and sister. But when Jesus said her name, Mary was not the same from that very moment. No, no, no. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I ascended to my Father. When he said Mary, and Mary turned herself, immediately she wanted to give him a hug. Because she right away, my Lord, my God, immediately she knew it was Jesus. My brother and sister, when he called you by your name, you will know it's him. Hallelujah. You will be before him right away. Thank you, Lord. There's so much we need to know and understand, but only God can explain them. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched out for his hand and caught him and said unto him, if all thou a little faith, why did you doubt? Remember, he knows why are they doubting. The question is, did they know why they were doubting? My brother and sister, again, to be a rabbi, once you become a rabbi, apostle, you already know that the why is God. The answer to the why is God. And it's every individual that gets an answer directly from God. So if you ask a rabbi a question, he's going to answer you with another question. My brother and sister, why? Hallelujah. Do you doubt? Jesus said to them. He could have, if it was someone prideful, because he's walking humility, it would have said, I know why you're doubting, because you're not reading my word. You're not praying enough. You're not fasting enough. You're not doing what I call you to do. You see? That's why we can't judge. Because only God knows why. If you start telling people the reason you don't fast, you don't pray, you don't read the Bible every day, and they even go, you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I don't know who you believe, and then they're going on and on. No, you're judging. That is between the person and God. Unless God lets you know a person is not saved, a person is not his, a person is not committed, a person is not in the Word, that's different than us assuming and judging. He came not to judge, even Jesus said, but to save. We have to have the same attitude of gratitude before God, that we want people to come to the Lord, my brother and sister. Same attitude of gratitude before God, that people will be saved. It should be our attitude before him. My brother, my sister, I've been asking the Lord for a few days, a week, to take me to heaven. He said yes to me twice. I was waiting on him. This morning, he took me up there. Thank you, Lord. I was in this family home, and the moment I arrived there, this family said, Ovi, come. You are a family. They began to tell me. Our family. I was trying to remember when they said you are a family, if I knew them from before. And they took me to the living room. Come, Elvie, follow us to the living room. And everyone there was greeting me. And they looked familiar. But I didn't remember them for a long time. Because last time I saw them, I was about 4 to 5 years of age. My father took me in the Dominican Republic to one of the baseball games. My father even had a cap on him in that baseball game. My father witnessed to them in that baseball game. And we were sitting there, my brother and sister. My father witnessed to them, the Lord to them. And they received Jesus, the husband, the wife, and the children. They received the Lord in that baseball game. I didn't understand why my father did the things he did, but he was leading people to the Lord. My brother and sister said anywhere. And so he led them to the Lord, and it was showing me, my father in that photo had me on his hand. I was surprised that they had a photo in heaven, because I was thinking, a photo in heaven, a photo here. To me, it was like, but I heard a testimony of someone seeing, like, pictures at one time. I believe it was of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington in heaven. And like in a museum, they have these big photos of these men of God that served God on earth. And they have like these painting on them. It was like a photo, but it was a painting. The person said, the person was surprised because it's things you don't expect to see. These are earthly things. To see it in heaven, I was like, huh? Wait a minute. But I remember that testimony. My brother and my sister. And to me, this was a confirmation. And this is what it is. Every time a believer gives their life to the Lord, angels rejoice before God for someone coming to the kingdom, and their name is written in the book of life, my brother and sister. And so angels rejoice when someone receives the Lord, and they keep in the books written a history. They write it down in the books in heaven. When someone gives their life to the Lord, the day, the hour, where, and what was going on that day. A full record when someone gave their life to Jesus. And they were showing me in heaven a record. I was there like as a witness. I was a child. But my father led them to the Lord. They confessed the Lord and received the Lord in that baseball game, my brother and sister. And they showed me the photo of me. My father was carrying me in his arm that day, while he was preaching to this family and led them to the Lord right there during the game. That means he was not paying attention to the game. He was leading people to the Lord because, you know, people gather in those places. My brother and sister, he led them there to the Lord, and there was a record in heaven of this event that went about. My brother and sister, he said, Brother Elvie, you are family. Remember the Bible said that we are member of the body of Christ, my brothers, and each of us are members. When you and I as a believer, and this was also let me know in heaven, that we are brothers and sisters. We are not friends. Like people say, they call each other friends. Yeah, we can be friends in the Lord. Yes. but we are brothers and sisters because we are serving one Father. And the moment you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become part of the family of God. And there's plenty of verses about that in the Bible. Read your Bible, please, my brother and sister. We are brothers and sisters. We're no longer a stranger, but we are family of God. And you said to me, Brother Elvie, we are family. We are family. And I said, wow, amen. It was a mighty confirmation to me when they said to me in heaven, we are family. And I knew this, that in the moment I went to see them and we met together and they were talking to me, I knew immediately that we were family, my brother and sister. I had to ask the Lord about what happened. The Lord, they confirmed it to me. My brother and sister was exciting. But one thing the Lord says, I said, Lord, when we heard the testimony of the rabbi, the man that asked the rabbi the question, the why do they answer a question with a question and they laugh, you know what the Lord says to me? It's not funny. It's not meant to be funny. It is a teaching for us. Because the Lord himself, as a rabbi, he answered his disciple their question with a question. And even when the Pharisee asked him about John, my brother and sister, he said, was John teaching from heaven or not? He answered the Pharisee with a question. My brother and sister, and he asked his disciple with a question. Because they're meant to have a relationship with God between one and one. My brother and my sister, let me read you more verses. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before I share more from heaven. Matthew 19:17. He said unto him, why callest thou me good? The disciple come, these people come, and call Jesus good. They call him good. Someone pray for it. They say, oh, thank you. Oh, you're so kind. How do you hear people saying that? Oh, thank you, thank you. You're so kind. Nonsense and foolishness. That's not the way Jesus answered. He said, why thou call me good? Why? He's answered them with a question. In other words, you need to learn that there's only one good, and it is my Father who is in heaven. Listen to his answer. Why call thou me good? There's none good but one. This is a fact that many people, Christians, don't understand yet. Why is it none good down here? There's none, Jesus said, good down here. My brother and sister. Brother Larry asked Father. He said, Father, will you reveal me that they are the rapture? And Father says, turn back to him and say, if I don't reveal the day to my angels that see my face every day and my son who is next to me, why will I reveal it to you, sinful men? The day of the rapture. Father turned around and said that to Larry. Oh man. Brother Larry was shocked by the answer. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. When Brother Larry started hearing the voice of Father, he says, Father, Father, I would like to walk with you. And Father says, my son, hallelujah, I demand obedience and commitment. And if you have to walk with me, you're going to have to do what I say. My brother and sister, not anyone can walk with the Lord, but Father. Hallelujah, because Father demands obedience. Hallelujah. He demands obedience. Here, Sister Shirley, I'll be back. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel today. Today is September the 26th of 2022. I'd like to share another word with you the Lord has given me that I hope will encourage you to stay strong in this day. As I have mentioned in a previous video, the word of the day has not been posted to my website recently, and I apologize for any inconvenience that may be causing any of you who relied on this service. My hope is that in the future I can have this up and running again to make the word available in a printable format. just a shout of thanks out to those who have been staying with me, even though these videos have been fairly sporadic through the weeks. I thank you for your support, for your comments, for your interaction. And my prayer continually is that those who hear these words will be blessed by them. And in the light of that, I would like to introduce the word for today. This word today speaks of those who are sending out the word of the Lord, whether it is through a prophetic ministry or some other form of distribution, because the Lord's intention is that his word goes forth in this day. And as we will see in this word, there is a confirmation that the Lord is sending out a warning to prepare people for his return. Yes, we do not know the day or the hour, but there are many who are watching the signs of the times, and many who are theologians who have studied the prophecies in the Bible and are coming to the conclusion that the time of the Lord's return is very soon. Many of us have wondered, how is it that the Lord is bringing restoration, that he is taking his people into the promised land, that he is promising blessings and security in this world that is falling apart? But in this word today, some light is being shed. These things are all coming into place, and the kingdom of God will be established throughout the earth, with righteousness restored in the land. However, the question is timing. When will these things take place? In receiving a prophetic word, it seems that these things are taking place now. And yet our timing is not necessarily in sync with God's timing. And so our understanding of the times and events taking place may not be completely accurate. One thing we do know for sure is the Lord is coming, that he is returning, and that he is preparing his remnant bride to be with him. And though this word speaks of a great tribulation coming to pass, we can be assured the Lord has prepared his ark to bring to safety those who are trusting in him. I hope this word today will encourage every one of you hearing it. Its title is A Time of Great Tribulation. I'll begin by reading scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. This scripture reference speaks of the Lord's return, but it also speaks of the rapture of the church. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This scripture speaks of the Word of God and how the Word of God gives direction and leads in the right direction. Hebrews 4, verse 12, For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This scripture speaks of the power of God's word, that it discerns the matters of the heart. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This scripture also speaks of the word of God, that the Lord sends his word out to accomplish his purposes. I'll begin reading this word. This is the day of the Lord's favor. Every high and lofty thing is coming down. Every low place is being raised up. The way is being made ready for the Lord's return. Enter through the narrow way, for the wide way leads to destruction, and many are they that go this way. Let go of wicked ways, everything that does not please the Lord. For in this day the wicked ways of men will be revealed. Every lying spirit is being captured and brought into submission under the Lord's feet. Every vile thing will be seen for what it is, as the eyes of the blind are being opened to see the folly of the ways of men. I am increasing the velocity of the winds of my spirit in this day, says the Lord. Every covering will be stripped away to expose evil in the hearts of men. Every false concept will be exposed and brought under submission to the Lord. Those who have been caught prey to the father of lies and have believed the lies of the enemy have been trapped. They have been deceived and have walked in darkness, held captive and unable to go on in the things of God. But I am bringing the light of understanding into their midst. They will clearly see the error of their ways and turn and be brought in line with the word of the Lord. Keep the fire of the Spirit burning. Add precept upon precept. You are being built into a structure built by God, the master builder. The deep things of the Spirit are being revealed in this day, for I am doing a deeper work than any man can see. I am subjecting every unrighteous judgment made by men to the Lordship of Jesus. The accuser of the brethren is being cut off, no longer able to hinder my elect from going forward in the power and anointing of my Spirit. Every enemy shall be put under your feet. Fire is being sent from heaven, and it will burn the sacrifice. What is left will be incorporated into the structure I am building in this day, says the Lord. You will reap where you have not sown if you put your hope in me. You will see the loss coming from far and wide, being herded up, gathered up in this day, for I am the good shepherd, and I am bringing the sheep home. If you love me and keep my commandment to love one another, you will reap a great harvest of souls, for I am putting the sickle into your hands, and you shall reap of the fields which are ready to be harvested. Coming is a day of great trial and tribulation, as the world has never known. The time is short, the end is near, and just as in the days of Noah, it will catch many unaware. This does not need to be so with you, my beloved. I am sending out my warning all over the earth. I am calling out the news everywhere. I am sending out the town criers to get the message out. The rains are beginning to fall. The ark is prepared, but the people must enter it to be safe from the tribulation that is coming. My plan to reach the nations with the message of my coming is in place. I have posted my messengers in strategic locations and equipped them with my word and with the means to distribute it. Take it into the highways and byways. Deliver it to the poor, for they shall receive it with gladness. They will not disrespect it, but will choose to heed it, for it is a light for their paths. It will bring them home to the Father. Make it available on every street corner. Do not fear what man might do, but trust that I have prepared the way for my word to go forth, says the Lord. This is my word. In the midst of a perverse generation, I have reserved a remnant who will please the Lord their God. These are the ones who will reign and rule with the Lord in his coming kingdom. Do not fear the tribulation that is coming, but be prepared to be lifted up out of it, says the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall enter into the ark prepared, be lifted up out of the flood waters, and be brought to safety. Powerful is the word of God. It is a two-edged sword. Distribute it. It will accomplish what it is sent out to do. I have given it to you. It is not your word, so do not try to protect it, for it stands alone and speaks for itself. You need no explanation for it. I will give you the map and show you where to take it. The shroud is being dispersed. The skies are clearing. The fog is dissipating. And the light is shining through, says the Lord. The people are able to receive. I'm moving you on into deeper waters of my spirit. You will go deeper into the wells of salvation. Be baptized into their waters. Carry the message of hope with you and bring salvation to the poor. Heed my word. Do not doubt it, but heed what it is saying. This is a day like no other. All the things you never dreamed possible are coming to pass in this generation. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes, the Lord is on the move today, and he's on the move in the world we live in. He is speaking about the tribulation that is coming, but he is also telling us that he has built an ark of safety for those who would hear the warning. But there are those who will not heed this warning, just as in Noah's day. But the Lord is making every effort to get this word out. He is sending out his town criers, his messengers, with the message of his coming. Yes, the tribulation is coming, but not for those who belong to the Lord, for the remnant who has been longing for his return, because he is coming to take us up in the air to be with him. And yes, he will fulfill all of his promises regarding his coming, but also of the extension of his kingdom throughout the whole earth, his righteous rule. But is it that the tribulation will take place first, while the church of Jesus Christ has been raptured and then returns with him for his reign upon the earth? The Lord is telling us that the time is short, and though we live in a perverse generation, it is this generation in which he chooses to return. And so the question may be, when will this great event of the Lord's return and the rapture of the church take place? How long will it be before the waters cover the earth, the waters of tribulation, the wrath of God being poured out upon the wicked, upon those who refused to accept the word of the Lord given to them? That word that has been given as a light to light the way. And so there is nothing to fear for those who belong to the Lord. Though the tribulation is coming, the Lord is telling us we will be lifted out of it. And so this is the message today. Are we listening and are we ready for what is ahead? I pray that each one listening today will have a stirring in their hearts of the excitement of the Lord's return. May we look up in these days and be ready. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. And may he give you his peace. Be blessed.
About to be sound any day, any hour. Now Jesus is about to return for his bride that have made herself ready. We need to be ready for his return before his return, because hallelujah, the trumpet will sound as the Lord promised us. It will sound, my brother, my sister. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go into the prophetic, hallelujah, of Revelation 10. The Apostle John says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Hallelujah. And his face was as it was the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Remember the rainbow back in Noah's time? God put a covenant with humanity that he would not destroy earth with water. Well, the rainbow that the angel's coming down with, again, my brother and sister, it's significant of not all the earth being destroyed with tsunami, but a lot of the earth being destroyed with tsunami. I saw the last of the earth being destroyed with tsunami. Now, God is faithful to his promise, because he was faithful to Noah. But we see that even when he promised the children of Israel that he will bring them into a land that will flow with milk and honey, they end up perishing on the way. Did God fulfill his promise? Yes. Did they made it? They did not made it because of the disobedience. Exactly what happened. They did not made it to the promised land, only the children, because they were not obedient. Obedience with God is better than sacrifice. God has called us now also to prepare ourselves to come home to heaven, as in the parable, Shalom Brother Miguel, of the 10 virgins. 5 was foolish and 5 were wise. We see how the wise one prepared himself with the Lord with the extra of oil. That is seeking God more and more every day. Even though you have more, you seek for more. You don't say, well, you know, I'm not going to pray no more. I'm not going to fast like some people when they get angry. They get mad. No. God wants us to commit to God. Even whatever you're going through, still commit to him, my brother and sister. So again, the angel, a mighty angel comes down from heaven, clothed with a cloud of rainbow, which is, it means tsunami, like in the times of Noah, on his head. His face was as the face of the sun. My brother and sister, the sun is a revelation of Jesus, but his face being like the sun is full of fire. He's bringing fire also down to the earth. There will be fire on the earth. I seen the earth burning. My brother and sister, many people had dreamed of the earth burning during the great tribulation because he's bringing fire. Amen. And his feet are pillars of fire. Pillars of fire can be caused by meteor, by volcanoes awakening. Volcanoes are thousands of years old, awakening. So you get the pillars of fire. Also from that, my brother, nuclear weapon also can cause the pillars of fire. But this is from heaven. This is not earthly or man-made, because the angel is coming from heaven, my brother and sister. So this is heaven judgment on the earth during the seven-year great tribulation. That's why staying behind, whoever's looking forward to staying behind, is a mistake. But everyone gets to make their own choice, like the children of Israel who came out of Egypt with Moses. Notice how Moses and Joseph and Joshua and Caleb made it to the promised land and the children of Israel, but their parents did not made it. It is by choice. You make your choice with God. Amen. God giving you the liberty to choose. Paul says that God has given us the liberty, but not to sin. The only liberty, we don't have to sin. But you, he had in his hand a little book open. He set it on his right foot upon the sea, and he left the foot on the earth. Now, the little book is the Bible. Because when God ministers to us or speak to us, when God is going to judge this earth, Jesus said that it will be by the word will judge them. Why is the book going little? Because the angel is so large. So the Bible is very little in his hand. So it's a little book, my brother and sister. But Jesus said that in the last day, men will be judged by the word. So it is the word judging people during the great tribulation, the harshest way possible. Judgment upon judgment is coming on the earth. Simple. And it's coming by the word of God, as Jesus said. Verse 3, and cried with a loud voice, hallelujah, as a lion roared. This roar is not a lion, but as a lion roared. So a lion can roar with great power. Some people have been into Africa and heard a lion roaring close to them. It says you can feel like the earth shaking, the earth moving, like when a train is going by when you're sitting in your car. So this roar is very powerful, my brother and sister. The lion is a type of Jesus, the lion of Judah. So this roar comes with an announcement that is coming from God, not from men. Okay? And when he had cried, seven thunder out of their voice, my brother and sister. He's crying with loud voice, my brother and sister, because when he came as a lamb, he spoke to humanity as a lamb through his prophet for many years. But as he's coming, he's not coming as a lamb anymore. He's coming as a lion. And his roar, humanity will have to hear. Whether they think it's too powerful, too shaking, it's too scary. Whatever they think it is for them that is too much, they're going to have to deal with it. Because he came to them as a lamb. He came humble. He came with humility, and they did not listen. And now no more. He's coming as a lion now. That is the day of vengeance of the Lord, my brother and sister. He says, vengeance in mine, says the Lord. He's coming with vengeance over humanity for the sins and the evil that they have not turned away from. Hallelujah. And when the seven thunder had uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up the things which the seven thunder utter, and write them not. Because the seven thunders, again, what happened when it's about to rain? And rain means judgment, outpouring. When the judgment came in the times of Noah, it began to rain for the first time in humanity. That was a sign of judgment coming on the earth. Then the Lord returned when he roared, when the seventh thunder roared, my brother and sister, that is judgment through water, tsunami, earthquake in the sea. My brother and sister, Salon Sister Loyera. Okay? So what they meant to say, no one can know unless those that stay in the Great Tribulation. They need to find out. We the bride, we don't need to find out. Those that are looking for the Lord now and repenting daily, getting ready to be going home, they don't need to know what the seventh thunder order, because it's not for them. This order is for the one that are staying behind. It's been sealed until the day of the 7-year great tribulation begin, because they are the one that's going to have to deal with the order. What they order, my brother and sister, the thunder judgment comes. They're going to have to live and experience the judgment like they never have experienced it before. My brother and sister, terrible. Hallelujah. 7 means to come from God, heaven. God fulfilled in the 7. Verse 5, and the angel whom I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hand to heaven. Notice how the hallelujah, everything they do has to be by God, because it's coming from God. Their orders come from God. They are doing what God is commanding them to do. So they have to make sure that they indicate it's from heaven. They're swearing by heaven, which the Lord told us not to swear by heaven. But they can, because they're coming now with judgment from God, my brother and sister. Verse 6, and he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven, the things that are in, and the earth and the things that are in, the sea and the things that are in, that there should be time no longer. Praise the Lord. Time will be no longer, my brother and sister, after the great tribulation. Okay? That there should be time no longer. Okay? Well, time no longer is no time left. Time no longer is no time left. If there's no time left, what does that mean, Brother Elby? The Bible said indicate that it's 7 years. But it's actually a little bit more. If you time it, you may be disappointed like people admit at the end of the Great Tribulation, 7 years. Brother, you said that it will be 7 years. And then a few weeks later, boom, the Lord show up. Time no longer. So it's not going to be once the Great Tribulation begin like it is now. Because now you can time things and get a really indication when it's 8 o'clock, when it's 5 o'clock, when it's 4 o'clock. And the Great Tribulation is not going to be that way. Days will be no longer under the time that it is now. Because right now we know that between a day and a night is 24 hours. And that 12 hours supposed to be the day, 2 hours supposed to be the night. We divide the day, we divide it by the time. In the Great Tribulation, you cannot do that. Because the sun turns darkness. That means that the daytimes are not there anymore. It's practically 9 and 9 again. There's no daytime in the Great Tribulation. Because the sun turns darkness. And the only way we get light on this planet is by the sun. Remember that? My brother and sister. The only way we get light is by the sun. And the sun turns darkness. What about the moon at 9? You're not even going to get it by the moon because the moon turns blood. And what people are going to see is a bloody moon in the cloud. I can see you may see the light try to penetrate the blood, but nothing. My brother and sister. So, darkest nights and darkest days is what they get for 7 years. Just like the time before Messiah returned, before he was burned to Mary. It was called a darkened time, where it was so dark, my brother and sister, that it represents the darkened time represents that evil. It represents that evil. And so the time again in the Great Tribulation represents evil. Darkness represents evil. Remember that he called the darkness night? It represents evil. So it's total 924 hours in the Great Tribulation. It's horrible. I walk in the Great Tribulation in the middle of like 12 noon, and it's dark. And I always wonder why, my brother and sister, and it's in the Word of God. No longer time, or no time no longer. So things are not run like there is now, and this time of grace is totally different. And people that have been taken to the Great Tribulation have seen this, my brother and sister, and you wonder why. Well, it's in the Bible, it's in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, because everything is in His Word. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seven angels, when he shall begin to sound, three of God shall be finished, and he that hath declared to his servants the prophet. Hallelujah. Notice that God, everything he says, he confirms. He hath declared right from the beginning to his prophet what he's going to do at the end. The Bible said that he declares the end from the beginning. So that the voice of the seven angels, when he shall begin to sound, the sound is always a shofar, or speak out, or alert, the mystery of God shall be finished. By this time, my brother and sister, verse 7, the mystery of what the thunder utter that only the people in the Great Tribulation will experience in those timing. I don't know if it's a year or two. It doesn't say how long it is. It says there will be no time, and they're going to utter, and then the sound, the mystery is going to finish. It's going to be horrible for those staying behind because they will experience something that we don't even know about. We're not even told what it is. We can imagine what it is. We know it's the type of judgment because it begins with rain and then rains and the otters. And so it's judgment. What kind of judgment, Brother Elby? I don't know because it told St. John not to write about it, to seal it. So only the people that will go through it will experience it, my brother, my sister. It's a mystery. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to know what it is because it doesn't pertain to us. It's 7 years that everyone, once the millennium begins, will forget. So why do we need to know about it? I have met people in the millennium that came out of the Great Tribulation. They don't remember much of it. Because remember what God said through Isaiah, the former things have passed away, and they don't even come to mind. Now the way you won't even remember. People that will go through the Great Tribulation and are saved, are beheaded for Christ, they totally forget afterward what they went through. The only thing they remember, they were martyr for the Lord, but then they don't remember nothing else. The things they saw and experienced, what their voices utter, they're not going to remember none of it. What the devil did, how they were persecuted by death, the angel of death, hell. If hell was a naked woman running after them on fire in the Great Tribulation, they're not going to remember none of that. They're just going to have to go through it and experience hell in the worst possible way. Apollyon and his locusts sending it to. Apollyon is in hell right now receiving those that come in. And one of the main entrances of hell, punishing people that comes into hell. He's going to be in the millennium tormenting people again. Whatever they're going to do to people in the Great Tribulation, whatever they are going to do to people in the Great Tribulation, it's unheard of. It's unknown. It's a mystery that we don't need to know. And I'm glad no one's going to remember to tell us about it anyway. I want to enjoy the millennium. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said. Some people like to, inquire of this mystery. I don't want to know about it. Thank you, Lord. And the voice which I heard from heaven who spoke to me again and said, go and take a little book which is open in the hand of the angel who standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Hallelujah. John is told to take it from the hand of the angel. And of course he's obedient. And I went to the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. He said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Someone would have said to the angel, that's not what the Lord told me to do. The Lord told me to take the book from your hand. You're telling me to eat it? I better get a confirmation from the Lord about this. Talking about asking for confirmation. You heard what God told John? Go and take the book out of the hand of the angel who standeth upon the sea. Okay, Lord, amen, I'll go do that. And he goes to the angel, give me the book. And yeah, the angel says, all right, take it from my hand. Go ahead and eat it. Excuse me? I just came from the presence of the Lord, talking to the Lord. He told me to take the book from your hand. I didn't hear him saying, you need to eat the book. Why are you telling me to eat the book? Huh? Someone say, do you got something against me? Because the Lord didn't say that to me. You saying it to me this? Oh. My brother and sister, obedience is better than sacrifice. You see how, you know, you can question and question and question for all eternity. My brother and sister, angels are directed by God. God did not tell John to eat the book just but take it from the hand of the angel. The angel is telling John to eat the book. My brother and sister, someone would say, this is very contradicting here because God did not say that to John, but why is the angel telling John to eat the book? My brother and sister, they're sent by God with the order from God. They know what to say at the moment they need to say it. Remember that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the hand, out of the angel hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I ate it, my belly was bitter. So the angel was speaking the truth to John. So if John would have stand there to argue with the angel, this wouldn't take him longer. The book of Revelation probably should have not been 22 chapters. It would have been 42 chapters. I wonder how many books they write of us when we argue things. When we doubt and we unbelieve things, I wonder how many books they write about us. Verse 11, said unto me, thou must prophesy against before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Well, basically, this is the message for the church for us in the last days when the judgment began to fall on the earth and Jesus come with darkness as the prophet Hosea prophesied that the day of the Lord comes but with darkness, 3 days of darkness. Then, my brother and sister, that means that when the Lord comes with the 3 days of darkness on the earth and he releases those beasts to go and cleanse the earth, and then he called us by name, changes and transforms us and send us out to prophesy, to speak his word, to win souls for the kingdom for one last time, to people that he knows that are going to receive the message. You heard what the Lord said to Sister Shirley. I think this message, last message of Sister Shirley from Canada, was one of the most powerful messages I heard from her. Because it specifies everything that the Lord is going to have us do before the great tribulations, during the revival. He's sending us out to speak to the people in our glorified body before the great tribulations. And then he takes us home, the shofar, and then, but in this sending us home out to prophesy, hallelujah, against before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Whoever the Lord's going to send us to, family people, that he knows their heart, their life, that they're going to listen. They're not vaccinated. They have refused to buy sin. They are going to listen. My brother, my sister. Hallelujah. I've been asking the Lord to send us family to minister to or to work with. And we have this Ukrainian family that we just met that have not been vaccinated. And I was telling Brother Ben, this is not by coincidence. This is by plan of God because I've been praying about this. My brother, none of them are vaccinated in the family. This is incredible. For someone who may not be walking with the Lord, not to be vaccinated is like a miracle. That's God preserving family. And he's putting it close to us to minister to them, to lead unto the Lord, my brother and sister. And they will hear people who the Lord is working on their lives, on their heart. Once you speak the word of life to them, they want more. They get more hungry for it, my brother and sister. And there was given me a reed, verse chapter 11, unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise, measure the temple of God, the altar, and then the worship therein. Now, this is in the middle of the Great Tribulation, or we'll say after the middle, that John is being told to measure the temple. Because the first 3 years or 3.5 years are to finish the temple. By the middle of the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist, the Bible says, Paul says to the Thessalonians, that he's going to come to the temple of God. First, Jesus said he's going to stop the sacrifice. When the Antichrist comes to the temple of God, he's going to stop the sacrifice. And you might say, but why is there sacrifice going on? Well, you know about the red heifer that they just brought from Texas to Jerusalem, to Israel. They are for the temple sacrifice, my brother and my sister. Okay? And they're getting everything ready for the third temple. They believe with the technology they have today that this third temple can be built in months, my brother, in less than a year. So the heifer will be fine. I believe one of the rabbis said that the heifer still need 1 year before they can use it for the sacrifice. The Jewish people are going to make the sacrifice. God commanded them. I went back to the sacrifices that they did. The order that was ordered to them, you're going to have to look it up because it's order. And they're going to follow that order of the sacrifice. And I know the sacrifice Jesus done on the cross, but we will understand even more later on. My brother and sister, the rabbi, the Jewish people believe that unless the third temple is built and they're doing sacrifice, Messiah is not going to return. They have many biblical foundation for this. My brother and sister, I may look up the verses and show you in the Bible why do they believe this and why are they going to continue to make sacrifice until Messiah return. Why? There is a reason why in the Word of God. Everything we need to know is in the Word of God. I know for many years people have had criticized the Jewish people for still thinking of the sacrifice. But Messiah himself said that they will be doing sacrifice, but it's going to stop. Daniel said they would during the Great Tribulation. The Antichrist is going to stop the sacrifice. Okay? Whether people believe those sacrifices, God will receive them or not, that's between them and God. Because the order of the sacrifice was given to them, the rabbis, the high priest. Okay? Now, look, my brother and sister, the sacrifice is going to be stopped by the Antichrist. The abomination that make it desolate. Hallelujah. Let me go to Matthew 24. Thank you, Lord. We might have to bring another Bible study in regard to the sacrifice and why. And why is that the Antichrist so offended by the sacrifice, my brother and sister? Verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, who read it, let him understand. Then he said, let them flee to the mountain. Hallelujah. So the key here is, hallelujah, verse 21, for there should be great tribulation, Jesus says, such as it was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor will ever shall be. Hallelujah. And then unless the day shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Again, this is why I said that the day being shortened is part of the great tribulations. And that's why time will be no longer. According to what I read to you in Revelation 10, time will be no longer. Because if days are shortened from 24 hours, then time is no longer. You cannot go by a 24-hour day anymore, as God established in Genesis. Very interesting, this stuff. You're going to have to look it up and study. Because he tells you very clearly that day will be shortened. And if days are shortened, then they're not 24 hours anymore. So time is no longer. That makes sense. That makes total sense, my brother and sister. Okay? So again, Daniel, the daily sacrifice. Praise to Jesus. I believe that daily sacrifice, it's important. Why is the Antichrist stopping the sacrifice, my brother and sister? Why is it so, and it's in Daniel, begins in number, hallelujah, Daniel 8:11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of hosts, which is Messiah. By him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Notice this. Why is the Antichrist see so fit or so important that the Jewish daily sacrifice gets taken away during the Great Tribulation or the middle of the Great Tribulation? Why is he taking it away, stopping it? Because that's what Paul says, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And so then Daniel 8:12 gives him more information. And a host was given him, given the daily sacrifice by the reason of the transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. This is when the Antichrist, he does this, but then he continued to do more. Because the Apostle Paul said he sits in the temple of God as God. So he takes it further. Not only does he take the daily sacrifice away, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then Daniel 8:13, and I heard one saint speaking. Another saint said to the certain saint, he spoke, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both a sanctuary to the host to be trodden under the foot? And the host here are the Gentile, because the Antichrist comes with a Gentile army. The Antichrist comes with a Gentile army. And here's where a lot of people have a lot of questions. Because we know who the Antichrist is. And the Lord allowed me to hear him talking to President Putin the other day. Do what you said that you're going to do. So President Putin and him, when he was in the White House, they both were riding horses together. A significant part of them governing together. Riding horses together. You can find it on YouTube. It's significant to them governing together. When King became allies in the past in the Bible, they would ride horses together. So it's very significant why President Putin and this other man of sin rode horses together in the White House. Very prophetic, very significant. They did it for fun. In the biblical sense, it's prophetic. Is the Antichrist and riding horses with those who had joined forces with him. So he will have joined forces with China, we know, because actually the digital currency, when he was in office for 8 years, he began the digital currency in China. He moved trillions of dollars from the U.S. to China while he was in office. And begin the digital currency that's going to be the currency of the Antichrist, his currency. He began this in China while he was still in office. My brother, God is giving us so much revelation about this. My brother and sister. So when he goes to Israel by the middle of the Great Tribulation, he's going there to stop the sacrifice. Somehow the IDF is not stopping him. And Daniel said that he come with great host, great army. So that means he's coming with China on his side and with Russia on his side, which will be the two nations standing, because by this time there is no United States, there is no Canada, there's no other nation that can stop him. So he has to force China on his right hand and Russia on his left hand before he goes to the land of the beautiful, the land of Israel. The land of the king, a Messiah, my brother and sister. And we know that Messiah Revelation 19. Before he goes there, Isaiah, Jeremiah says that God put a hook on his jaw and bring him to the land, to the mountain, where God is going to judge him and destroy him. My brother and sister. So the plan of the Antichrist has been, and he's very focused on this. He got China on his right hand and Russia on his left. And he's going to end up the United States. The United States will be no more. And then he's going against the land of Israel. That's his final battle. That is called Armageddon in the Bible, which it can be called World War III. People believe that the invasion of the United States, World War III, by China and Russia, North Korea and Iran, and much more, and India, and many other countries that are joining secretly, not saying who they are, who agreed with them secretly, Germany, not saying who they are. Just one. There are countries secretly that agree with them, my brother and sister, that will join them. God has shown this to people in vision, revelation, that there are countries right now that are saying they are death for the United States as long as they're getting free dollar, free money, okay? They're singing to the United States song. But once the dollar collapses, which it is about to, soon as the church gets out, the dollar collapses, because the Antichrist then is making it happen, Pelosi and then is making it happening. They all join together, my brother and sister. It is a wicked joint force that they're doing. Daniel 11:31, because I've given you a Bible study about this. Daniel 11:31. An army shall stand in his part. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place there the abomination that make it desolate. The only abomination, the only Obama in the nation that will make it desolate. His last name means a falling star from heaven. Okay? Falling star from heaven. The next thing is judgment before the 3 days of darkness. Okay? So this abomination that make it desolate, his name goes with the abomination. And his last name is falling star. My brother and sister, it's not by coincidence. In the Bible codes, Bible number codes, the rabbi wanted to know who qualified to take that position while he was still yet in office. And they put in his name, my brother and sister, and it's not by coincidence. In the Bible codes, his name appear specifically under the men of sin. And the abomination, his name appear in the Bible codes. You know that the Bible codes, and they run it in the Hebrew language, not in English, not in, some people are doing it in English and all that. No. The original Bible codes, you have to run it in Hebrew. And they ran his name in Hebrew, in the original language of the Bible. And his name appear under the men of sin. The last day one that's going to bring those abominations. His name, first and last, appear as a falling star, fallen angel. It was stunning to the rabbi who ran it by coincidence. He felt like he needed to do it. He got up one morning, I believe, that was the testimony. Lord, forgive me if I'm wrong. That he got up one morning with that, wanting to really run it. And it was something on the news that the rabbi heard about him when he was president. And it just felt very strong that he needed to run his name on the Bible quotes to see what it will come out. And when he ran his name, the rabbi was stunned. It was publicized how his name came out as the man of sin, the man of perdition, the Antichrist. It just... he ran it with last name first, again, and same thing came up again. He ran it the other way, same came up again, pointing that he is the man of sin and the Bible quotes. And he has other rabbi friend of his. So see if they can help him understand and see why his name came out as the man of sin again. And they run it again. They put it on. They run it again in the Bible codes. And his name came up again. And the rabbis were scratching their head because they know the Bible quote is accurate, almost to the 99.9, as they have put it. They can tell you, it tells you in the Bible quote when the Kennedy got assassinated, and much more, when other famous people die and all that. Put it in the Bible quote, put in their names in it. So it's not by coincidence. They have, I think it's almost 100, over 100 famous name in the Bible quote. They can even put Queen Elizabeth in the Bible quote, and it tells you when she will die, how she will die, everything in the Bible quotes. No coincidence then. So them putting his name in the Bible quote and coming out so clearly as the man of sin, my brother and sister, it was stunning to the rabbi. My brother and sister. And it was exact to the counting the letters. Boom, his name. They did it again. From left to right, his name. From right to left, his name. Of the man of sin. As an abomination. So they were stunned. They were stunned. This is online. You can probably search that online. Because again, my brother and sister, it was something stunning to them. Okay? So Daniel 12:11, and from the time of the daily sacrifice shall be taken away the abomination that make it desolate, set up. There shall be 1,290 days. Look how specific the Bible is. Notice how I know that the daily sacrifice is in the middle of the Great Tribulation. Because it gives you, by Daniel, the specific time. It's specific. This, you cannot be more specific than this. The Great Tribulation is 7 years, right? Plus a few weeks. Now, look what it says. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that make it desolate set up, okay? How was it set up? By the rabbis, okay? There shall be 1,290 days, okay? Now, look. By the time it's taken away to the end of the Great Tribulation, it's 1,098. When you put it together, that's 3.5 years. A specific 3.5 years. So if you take 3.5 years from seven, what is left? 3.5 years. So the first 3.5 years, it's going to take for them to build the temple, the third temple, have it ready, that before the 3.5 year, they're already doing sacrifice in the temple. They're already sacrificing the red heifer and the temple during the Great Tribulations. By the middle of the Great Tribulations comes the Antichrist, the man of sin that God puts a hook on his jaw and brings him to the mountain. And he comes, says Paul. Let me look it up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No coincidence in the Word of God. It's just, everything is just so, if you ask the Lord to give you more, he will give you more, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Everything. It's in his word. And with the wisdom of God, my brother and sister, my Lord, my God, God can just show us a specific. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Look, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come unless they should come of falling away first, and the men of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Here that the falling away, he is not falling away. Here is the departing first, the rapture, that comes from the older Bible. You can look it up in an older Geneva Bible. There's no falling away. It's departure. It's the right word. Like it is in all international airports, United States and the world, departure. That's the right word, okay? Because when you're going to take a plane, you depart. When you're taking off on a plane, you're departing. The church is taking off. The church is departing. It's not falling away into the sea. It's not falling away into hell, neither. May the Lord rebuke that thinking. It's going to heaven, departure. That the men of sin be revealed and the son of perdition, okay? Men of sin and son of perdition, two words that in the Bible call appear under his name. Okay, verse 4. What does he does? Or what does he stand for? What does the menacing stand for? Who opposed Antichrist is the one who opposes. That's the meaning of it. Exalt himself, pride, becomes before a fall. He's very prideful. That's why he's in hiding in and out of the White House in secret. In his pride, he's running this nation and running the world, he thinks. He exalts himself. And he asks his worshiper in Revelation. And they say, who is like the beast? He's asking for worship. Lord rebuked him. My brothers, above all that is called God, he exalts himself above all that is called God. That is worship. There it is. Revelation 13. Okay? His followers are worshiping him. Those that receive the mic in the right hand of the are and that are fully vaccinated are worshiping him. Worshiping the beast. My brothers and sisters, God have mercy. So that he said it as God in the temple of God. Jesus said that when you see this abomination sitting in the holy place, run to the mountain. Why? Because the Lord has in Israel three places in specific, a small town city, small town, I would say, where they will be protected by angels from God, where the Antichrist cannot go in it. And so the Lord says, flee to the mountain. Because this is, two of them are in the mountain. I believe one is in the south, as we look it up in the map. My brother and sister, which is in Daniel 11. The temple of God showed himself to be in God. So he's showing himself to be in God, to be a Messiah. Okay? The key word is Messiah. He's showing himself to be a Messiah, to be in the Lord, to be in the Savior. And people, the Jewish people is not going to fall by it. They only know that there's only one Messiah. From where does he get the power and authority to do such a thing? You know where from? The UN. The UN, my brother and sister. Because United Nations cannot send their troop when Syria attacked them back in the, I think it was back in the 90s, where you see a lot of UN troops, in the 2000s, I believe it was. I don't remember the year specifically, but it was not too long ago, maybe 17, 18 years ago. And Syria was sending all the tank against Israel. And this is when the UN went and intervened and sent a troop there. And they were having problems justifying why would the UN intervene? Because there were no international laws in the books for them to justify this. And that's why you're seeing the Palestinian and all these nations attacking Israel, their enemy, and the UN had not intervened. And it's because the law needs to be in the books in order for this to be justified. So in order for the man of sin to go and sit in the temple of God, he must put this law in the books. Well, what happens this month? Was it on the 21st of September or 23rd? Please, someone, if you know, clarify this on me. Because now I don't remember the date. But it happened this month of September where the temporary leader of Israel, my brother and sister, who's taking the place of Netanyahu. It was first Naftali, and because Netanyahu doesn't have his cabinet together, now that leader has been put in there temporarily. I don't even remember his name. He looks very Arab to me anyway. He just declared a Palestinian state in the eastern part of Jerusalem. And he has declared the land for the Palestinians that really belong to the Jewish people. So he's dividing Jerusalem, my brother and sister. How can they get this in the books? Biden and they have signed agreement with Israel for this to happen. In other words, they are putting this in the books. Yair Lapid, thank you for the name. Do you remember the day when this happened this month? I think it was the 24th or 23rd, either one, my brother and sister. In order for them to do stuff like this, like the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God, they had to put the law in the books first. the UN need to agree, like the UN is agreeing that the Palestinian, they're voting that the Palestinian will get the land. Now, with the agreement that Biden and them are signing, and with the UN agreement, all these things being put into the books of the UN, now the Palestinian now can begin to go into the land, eastern part of Jerusalem, which belongs to the Jewish people, but the laws are being put into the books. Once they're in the book, they have the right to begin to put the government there together, because they're already talking about it. If you follow the Jerusalem Post, please do. You will be up to date what's happening there with all that mess, my brother and sister. But at first, they need to sign it. They need to agree it, sign it, and put it into the books. And the UN will have it in the books. Then these people can demand and do whatever they're going to do. Okay? My brother and sister, we know that the Dome of the Rock, it belongs to the Jewish people. But right now, it's under the authority of the Palestinians. If that way the third temple is going to be built, because that's what the place, that's what the old temple was, in all reality, they're trying to make a nest to it, but in all reality, that belongs to the temple of Solomon, the first temple, the second temple of Herod was there. Okay? The old Dome of the Rock is going to be destroyed. The third temple will be built there. It belongs to the Palestinians. And one basic and right that has been menacing us to be able to sit in the temple of God as God. If the temple that they're going to build is not fully belong to the Jewish people, but half belong to the Palestinian, he can go under the new law and sit in the temple, in the third temple, as their Messiah. Think about it. Because right now, the Dome of the Rock belongs to the Palestinian. It doesn't belong to the Jewish. And under the new division of the land, that land will belong to the Palestinian. Jewish people need to move away. Okay, remember when Eric Sharon went one time to the Dome of the Rock? Because before that, any Jewish that can go there will be stoned. The Dome of the Rock belongs to the Palestinian under international law, my brother and sister. So it is the only way the men of sin, the men of perdition, can go into Israel during the sacrifice in the third temple while it's built there. Because he can claim the right to say, this belongs to the Palestinian with Arab. And he already in the United States, as the president, declared himself to be an Arab. To be, hallelujah. But what's the word he used? Someone help me, please. Hallelujah. He declared himself to be a follower of Muhammad. And there are photo, and I believe video of him saying this, and him dressed as an Arab online when he was still president of the United States. Now, brother and sister, under those international laws that the Palestinian will have the right also to worship in the temple, he can go and sit there as God in the temple of God. There is that answer that we wanted to know for years. God, thank you, Lord. My Lord, my God. Everything is in his word. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the only way he can go. Hallelujah. We know that the only sacrifice that is valued, Hebrews 7:27, to God is who needed not as the high priest to offer up, sacrifice daily first for his own sin, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. My Lord, what a mystery being revealed. This Jesus, as the Lamb of God, the high priest needed to make sacrifice for themselves first before they can offer sacrifice for the people and their sins. Jesus did not do it to do that because he was holy. He is holy. He forever will be holy and righteous. So once he offered himself on the cross, my brother and sister, it was done. It was fulfilled. It was finished. My brother and sister, what an awesome thing. The writer of Hebrews said that every priest stand daily ministering and offering time and again in the same sacrifice, which can never take away the sin. Then this is, I know why a lot of people will have a lot of questions, Brother Elvie. Then why are they establishing the sacrifice in the third temple? In order for me to speak of it, I got to look up the Bible verses back in Chronicle, First Chronicle, and First King, because they're there. There's plenty of Bible verses. I will have to read it to you and explain them to you why they're going to establish a daily sacrifice. Because to the Jewish people, this is continuous. But I have to show you in the Bible verses that you see, my brother, my sister. So he's testing the temple of God as God. Hallelujah. And Paul says, and you know that what we're holding, that he may reveal himself in time, in his time. Now, look at the other thing that Paul said, his time, the devil time, the Antichrist time, the men of sin time. They're going to have a time allowed by God, given to them by God, in which they're going to do these things. Okay? I don't know that you can pray this away, because a lot of people will ask, can we pray this away, Brother Abby, so this doesn't happen? Pastor, what's his name? This international pastor online said, they start, that they're going to pray that the Jewish people, the things in the Bible said they're going to happen, they're going to pray it away. Like, huh? Pray it away what God says is going to happen? I don't know about that. I do not know about that. Okay? My brother and sister, I took that as pride. When you say that, oh, because the Bible says it's going to happen, we're going to pray, it doesn't happen. No. When God said this is going to happen, this is going to happen because he's the one giving permission. And when he gives the devil permission, the devil's going to take advantage and do it. Get it done, my brother and sister. So pray this away. I don't know about that. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity is already at work. And if he will have a job, it will be as a commander-in-chief. He's already working. And if he has a job, he's not going to get a janitor job for sure. You know that he's going to get a commander-in-chief job. He's not going to get a janitor one. Okay? Only he who knows who holds him back will hold him back till he's taken out of the way. Someone heard me about this years ago. I thought it was really amazing. Oh, glory to the Lord. But he's already at work. He's already working. He's already working. He's not going to get a janitor job. He's going to get a commander-in-chief job, one of the highest in the land, my brothers and sisters. These fallen ones, they're not going to go for the lower position. They always go for the government position. They want to be on top, commanding other people to do things for them. It's what they go for. That's what the Nephilim will go for. And we know they are in the last days. And where you think they are? Where are the elite? The elite are moving hundreds of millions of dollars every day. That's what they are. Behind the scene. A lot of them, you don't even know their names or last names. Okay? They get to change their names. And they have address where cannot be identified, my brothers and sisters, that cannot be found in the map or on Google Map. You cannot find their home address on Google Maps because they know how to pay for that not to happen. They got all kinds of protection from the highest people in highest position because they're very important according to them. Okay, so they're not your local janitor. My brother and sister, and they're on this position to cause very harm. Verse 8, then shall the wicked one be revealed. Okay, then when the great tribulation begins, he's totally revealed. Because why is he revealed during the great tribulation? Because that's when he goes for everything he has. That God in the great tribulation is going to expose them. Right now, those that should be turning into beasts, they already have contained inside the body the beast when they got vaccinated. But you cannot see the beast, okay? Because it's not the time for the veil, the exposed, to be out. the exposed comes out in the Great Tribulations. That's why they change immediately when the Great Tribulation began into beast. What is that? God is exposing them. My brothers, the Great Tribulation is the great exposing. Hallelujah. That's why the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to his servant John. In the Great Tribulation, he exposes everything. These people change into beasts in front of everyone. Hates to be in his post right away. If an angel is a pastor, you immediately, instead of seeing a man, you see an angel. Oh, I didn't know this pastor was an angel for so many years. He probably visited his church once in a while. And when John spoke to the church, he spoke to the angel of those churches in the book of Revelation. Why is he writing to the angels? Because Revelation reveals. That's why he's writing to the angel of the church. It's not a pastor alike angel. It's a pastor. Angels are pastors down this earth. And in the Great Tribulation, they're going to be exposed, revealed for whom they are. But here's the thing. In the 3 days of darkness, the Lord revealed to us, the church that is going home, who are angels. He showed me this when the Lord showed me calling us by name. Those that are look like human are sisters and brothers. When he called them by name, they immediately turned into an angel before the Lord. I saw this when Jesus was doing it. Remarkable, awesome. Hallelujah. So awesome when I saw this. I already know that some of them that are angels, I already know them. That's going to be shocking to some of the people that don't know, don't believe, doubt it and question it. They'll be shocked to see that one of their brothers and sisters are an angel. And that's what they are, and that's what they're going to be in right next to you. So get ready for that, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So these wicked ones, this man of sin, he's going to be revealed for whom he are. That's why the sister that did not believe when I started talking about him back in 2012, I believe I mentioned it, but in 2013, I was talking about this. This sister of the Lord, okay, she had heard Jesus speaking to her for years. She had a powerful ministry, and she's a prophet. And she heard me on the Lord's Tower for the first time. The Lord led her to the Lord's Tower through someone. She heard me speaking. Elvis Zapata, who is he? She wrote to me. She even supported the ministry. But when she heard me talking about this, oh, no, wait a minute. I think Elvis, is he a false prophet? Is he a false prophet? And so she took it to the Lord in prayer and fasting. Just I tell them, pray to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Because it's easy to call someone a false prophet. You need to hear it from the Lord first. Don't be calling people false prophet unless you hear it from the Lord. My brother and sister, when I hear people calling other people false prophet, I get nervous. Because the question is, do you hear from the Lord? If you say you heard it from the Lord, amen. It's a false prophet. It has to come from the Lord. And the Lord gives testimony of it too. Okay? So she didn't want to sin. She took it in prayer and fasting before the Lord. My brother and sister, it would have been easier for her to go on Facebook or make a video on YouTube and call me a false prophet. That would have been so easy for her, but no. Mature Christian that knows the Lord, they know what they need to do. They go back to the Lord. That's what you do. Immature Christian will call it a false prophet and sin and then get in trouble with God. Get in real serious trouble with the Lord. And so she took it in prayer and fasting before the Lord. And the Lord is so faithful. He, what we're talking about, when it's his revelation, surely he will confirm it. Many times that I asked the Lord to confirm the things I was speaking, and he told me, yes. He said, yes, I will. Confirm it to people. And the Lord gave her a dream. He was on CNN and during the Great Tribulation. And she saw when he turned into this fallen angel with wings and everything. Huge. I see, no, just exactly how the Lord has shown him to me. He looks like a human now, a man of color. But in reality, he's a tall, about 17 feet angel, large wing and everything, dark evil. She almost fell on her bed with the revelation of the Lord. She was stunned. She could not believe. And there were many people in America, when they truly saw him, they were shocked on television. Shocked, like, wow, we've been deceived for so long. What did Jesus say when they asked him about his coming and the end of the time? Be ye not deceived. Don't let them deceive you. So this is exactly what's happening right now. There's still many deceived. Many are blind, following the blind. My brother and sister, what did Jesus say when the blind follow the blind? Their ball will fall together in the hall. It's happening. My brother and sister, supposed to go to the Lord and ask the Lord. She wrote back to me and told me the experience she had in the revelation. Brother Elvie, the Lord confirmed to me what you've been saying. But the way he showed me, oh, Brother Elvie, oh, I wish I didn't see it. Oh, he's a really bad fallen angel, Brother Elvie. Ooh, man, Brother Elvie. She wrote to me the experience. I can feel the anointing and the writing. My brother and sister, that it was from the Lord. She was stunned. It changed her life there forever. Hallelujah. Because I may not give you, well, I do give you a lot of information here. Because every time the Lord gives to me, I give it to you. Sometimes I don't even think about it. I just give it out because he's giving it to me. Praise the Lord. But she was stunned how accurate the information was with what the Lord showed her. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And I'm sorry, Brother Elvie, I wouldn't have called you a full prophet. I really, I didn't want to call you a full prophet, Brother Elvie. I know you are the Lord. The Lord, he really get witness of you, you know. I said, sister, don't worry. I'm glad the Lord revealed this to you. Praise you, Lord. Because we're not to no judge nobody. And I know this is a lot of this information is very hard for people to receive. But it's the truth. Do you want to come? Do you want me to come here and tell you the truth? Or tell you a story from someone else? What are you looking for? Do you want the truth from the Lord? Or do you want to be entertained? That's why I don't like to call it program. I have a hard time calling this a program. Because a program usually comes from entertainment, my brother and sister. And this is the Lord's hour. This is revelation. This is what he's given us, and we're giving it out. We're putting it out. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. Some people, I say, Brother Elvie, wow. When the Lord revealed you the fascinating, what was going to happen and the outcome, that was too strong, Brother. Some people said they could not even listen to me because they said it was too hard. It was too strong. The revelation was too much. Too painful. And I know this revelation, all this stuff is too painful for a lot of people. I know, I understand. But it's the truth. Do you want the truth to hurt you but set you free? Or receive the lie and keep sleeping? No. The truth will hurt you much. It hurt the disciple. When Jesus told them the truth, how hard the word was for them, they were all going to leave him. And the Lord God Father spoke to Peter, Peter, where are you going to go? He's the one giving you the word of eternal life, the truth. Jesus was giving them the truth, and they thought it was too hard at one time. They were all going to leave him. Let's walk away from this. God, this is too, I can't take this no more. I'm going to have a heart attack if I keep listening to him. Well, he was giving them the truth. You may feel like it's going to give you a heart attack, but it's the truth. The truth will set us free, my brother and sister. That's what that is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. I check with the Lord about the things I say, and I repent if I said anything false. That's why me giving third-party information is dangerous in my part, and I repent. When I finish this program, later on when I go and pray with the Lord, I'm repenting any false teaching. Lord, please forgive me the false teaching. Why? Because I play someone else's audio here. And I give you third-party information also sometimes. And that is dangerous. Because what happens if it's not true? You know, I will be giving you false information. You are a child of God. I need to know and understand who I'm talking to. You're going to heaven. You're going to see the Lord face to face. And if something is false, The Lord was posted right there. Oh, he told you. That he told you was a lie. What do you think I'm going to feel about it? I have to put my head down and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm going to have to do a lot of repenting in heaven then. My brother and sister. Before the Lord. So this is why I understand why Paul told Timothy to show himself approved before the Lord. Because you can say something or speak something you heard or someone said, and you said, well, that's of God. Let me and say it forward. And if it's not, my Lord, my God, we have to repent. I have to repent. And I have much to repent for. My brother and sister, third-party information is dangerous. And I'm being careful with how much I can share. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. So the daily sacrifice. So then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Notice how, what Revelation 19, what comes out of the mouth of the Lord? The sword. The sword is also the spirit. My brother and sister. What comes out of the mouth of the Lord is the spirit, the sword. With that, he'll finish him. Finish him. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I've seen this. They're totally blind by the brightness of Jesus, by his glory. And they're powerless. They're totally powerless. They become weak and powerless. And the angel comes and bound them and takes them away. They're going to be bound for that great judgment after the millennium, 1,000-year reign of Christ. To be in judging that white throne judgment. You know, I thought the white throne judgment was going to be short. But I don't know how long it's going to be. That I can assure you. But it's not as short as maybe as we're thinking. Someone says to me, do you think that's going to happen quickly? That can take years. Because that's not going to matter. The church after that goes into eternity with Christ. And in eternity, there's no time. While the white throne judgment is going on, we're in eternity. But as I read it in Revelation 20, they get judged. I know that the Bible said that Satan will be losing for a little season. Then he'll get cast alive. He'll get cast alive. Then the last enemy is dead. He'll get cast alive. Hallelujah. Now, no, I'm not talking in regard to being here. No. We're not going to be here any longer. The Lord is about to bring his judgment on the earth, which that's the next sign that we're looking for. The Lord is saying that his judgment is about to fall on the earth through his prophet. And I'm looking, as Jesus told me, said to me, look for the sign, my son. Remember Jesus said to me, look for the sign, my son. He was standing in front of me. So I'm looking for the sign of judgment coming, which the Lord already given to me in the three last judgment before the rapture. We're going to see the sign, earthquakes and tsunami, the beginning of the word in Israel, which is about to begin also. Look how close we are. The Lord says to Brother Alberto in heaven that Israel is the time clock for us, the church, on earth. And he says that when you see Israel ready to fight the enemy, ready to go to war, know that I'm about to take you home. That's a sign. That's the last thing you're going to see. I believe what the Lord Jesus said to him, if I remember clearly. And, well, right now, Israel is getting ready to go to war with Iran. But Iran is not doing it like Israel is thinking. Iran is looking for support through the UN to go to war with Israel. That means that Egypt can join Iran, Syria can join Iran, Pakistan can join Iran, and many Arab countries, my brother and sister, can join Iran to go against Israel. That's the alliance that David talks about in Psalm 83. That they're going to make an alliance, my brothers and sisters, among themselves. And they have made it. They already made that alliance. They already signed agreement in the Middle East. All the religious leaders of them, including Iraq, that was delivered by the U.S., that was trained by the U.S., that was given weapon by Obama and them. They also are joining that group that they're going to attack Israel. So Iran is looking through the U.N. support so they can justify their alliance and their attack on Israel, my brothers and sisters. And this is why Biden and them are helping Iran by lifting the sanction on Iran and allowing Iran to go to the tables and Iran to gain more time to develop more nuclear weapons to use against Israel. My brothers and sisters, lifting the sanction, giving them UN sitting votes in the UN, which they're looking for. Once Iran gets votes in the UN, which the UN is about to give to them, which I find it very strange, because they should have no vote or saying in the UN. They're getting the right to say, and they're getting the right to vote. If they give them that right by the UN legal, and that may happen before this year is over, 2022. My brother and sister, if Iran get that right to say, to vote in the UN, it means that Israel don't have the legal right by UN law to attack Iran. Israel dare to attack Iran while Iran is a member of the UN because they're looking for that membership and they're about to give it to them. Okay? Obama and Pelosi and Biden are pushing this for them to get that UN right, that UN votes, that UN seat. If they get it this year, don't be surprised if you see it on the news. Israel don't have the right to attack them. And if Israel dare to attack them, and they can show proof of Israel attacking them, and Israel have attacked them in Syria and different places, even in the land of Iran, if there's any attack from Israel on the land of Iran, them looking for a seat in the UN, being approved by the UN, then all the countries have the right to support Iran, and all the Arab countries will join Iran to attack Israel legally. My brother, and that's why Iran is moving in the way they are moving, that a lot of people don't understand. Why haven't Iran attacked Israel yet? A lot of people are asking. When they say that they want to destroy Israel. And the reason is because they're looking for a seat in the UN, a vote in the UN, and they're moving to that legally. They have a team of lawyers and representatives from Iran and the UN looking to get that position. And Biden and Pelosi and Obama are looking to give it to them. That will make it worse than Israel. Because if Israel attacks them, Israel will become enemy of all UN countries that are in the UN. And all the countries, if Iran go, then go against Israel, they have to support Iran. It's a mess. It's a mess like people cannot even imagine. But Iran got all the lawyers, the best lawyers, and leaders going up on this on the UN. Biden is already lifting the sanction. He said on the news he would to give him another chance and opportunity. But in reality, what they're giving Iran the chances to become a member of the UN, which is that will make it impossible for Israel to attack them. And this is where only Messiah, in behalf of Israel, fighting with them, as the Lord showed me, can help Israel overcome Iran and the rest of the nations, the rest of the Arab nations. Because Iran is counting on all the Arab countries, which are many, with many powerful weapons even sold to them by the United States. They want to use all those Arab nations to attack Israel. My brother, that's the Tamu that David said. They have made a Tamu against your anointed ones. That's the mess that the leadership, the group that they're putting together, the coalition that they're putting together of Arab nations to attack Israel. But they're doing it through the UN, my brother and sister, where Obama, Pelosi, and Biden support, financial support. A lot of people are asking, why is Biden financially supporting Iran? Because Obama is telling them. Obama is one of them. Do this, Biden. Do this, Pelosi. Told by the Antichrist that those are his brothers. He's not going to leave them without his promise to them. He made them promise. He's fulfilling the promise. He did it while he was in office. Gave him all kinds of weapons, intelligence, and so much more. So he's continuing to make all this mess. The church is not going to see much of it, though. The church, no. The judgment comes. The 3 days of darkness begin. The church gets changed and transformed. The only job for the church now is, because the Lord already saying to his prophet, I thought I had an audio there, but I think I deleted it, where sister that I always say in prophecy of the Lord, church, she's always saying church, body of Christ. The Lord spoke to her yesterday in regard to he's about to, he says, I'm about to bring my bride home. And the Lord says to her about the judgment that is about to come on the U.S. and the world, for sure. The darkness, and that's it. Because right after the darkness, the revival begins. You heard how specific the Lord said it through Sister Shirley? Well, it is kind of in that sequence, because that's the way the Lord has shown it to me also, clearly. Jesus standing in front of me. My brother and sister, we get the judgment now that is about to fall on the U.S., that many people believe is going to happen this year. I also believe the same. But again, no man knows the day and hour. But I believe this year the judgment comes. I'm sure the Lord already has spoken to people in California. Move out. Run out of California. He told Sister Celestia, run out of New York. Get out of New York. I'm telling you, the judgment of New York and California are about to fall. And the Lord already is telling some of his saints to get out. Get out. Because it's about to fall. Any day now. Any day. Okay? Any day. My brother and sister. So, we believe the earthquake and the eastern tsunami are about to happen. And I told the people years ago, don't be surprised if these judgments happen. Boom, boom. One day one. Boom, boom. The other day the other one. And then, oh, Brother Elby, the word you say already fulfilled. Don't be surprised. Okay? God is merciful. So if we get the earthquake, and then a few weeks or in a month later we get the tsunami, that's still fast. That's still like, boom. My brother and sister. But be for sure that these judgments are at the door, closer than ever. It's what the Lord is saying to us. Confirmed to us. Plenty of confirmation we have received. So we know it's close. The other day when he took me in the spirit and showed me, it was stunningly close when he showed me the great tribulation about to begin. It was stunning. In the spirit, I said to you, my brothers and sisters, I saw like the great tribulation going to start tomorrow. And that's how close it felt. I could discern it in my discerning in the spirit of time. Like it's about to start tomorrow. Because you don't compare the time of the spirit to this physical time. But it means it's very close. We don't have much. Judgment comes. 3 days of darkness. Revival, which is short also. Revival, I thought we would have months of revival. No, it's short. Short. When the Lord allowed me to experience a revival last time, was less than a month. Less than a month. My brother and sister. And it was done. I was surprised when it was over. We met the Lord. They go home. We went home after that. We do still have a lot of questions when we go on the revival, our children, our family, Lord, how? But God can take care of our family. We don't need to worry. That we don't need to be concerned. I know we have questions. There's a lot of things we don't understand. God knows it well. We take it before him in prayer and we wait on him. He loves us so much. He knows that we want also to protect our children, our family. We have children. I still have a 4-year-old. 10-year-old, 13-year-olds, they're still young. So as a father, you want to be there for them. The Lord knows and understands all these things. So again, if he's sending us out for the revival, again, I'm sure we can pray and ask him to keep angels around our family protected. Because the world is going into chaos. The world is going into chaos. And I'm glad the Lord showed me the economy falling after the rapture, my brother and sister, because I know after the earthquake, the United States becomes a mess. Power outages. The earth continues to shake and knock down power everywhere, all over the U.S., my brother and sister. So this country become a mess after the California earthquake. It just keeps happening. Then Chicago earthquake. Another judgment God said it will happen. He showed me that once the California earthquake happens, it's gonna the earth in the United States is gonna be shaking all the way to Maine from California. My brother and sister. So it's not gonna stop. It's not going to stop at all. All these things are going to continue. My brother and sister. Now going back to the temple, Revelation 11:2. And we'll continue on this next week, Revelation 11. God willing, if we're still here, my brothers and sisters. But the cord which is outside the temple, leave it out, measure it now, for it is given unto the Gentile. Remember what I shared with you? He's going there with his Gentile army, as I read to you, the host, the army, in Daniel 8. The Antichrist is going with the army. He's going there with China and Russia. By the time he goes to sit in the temple. Now, it could be that Israel militarily will not want to confront Russia and China. The Antichrist who's coming against Russia and China. The IDF, after fighting all these Arab countries, my brother and sister, they're going to be financially hurt. This is why I'm praying for the financial support of Israel. My brother and sister, and I will ask you to do the same. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, yes, as the Bible says, but also pray for the market, the financial system of Israel, my brother and sister. They need a prayer. We need the Lord to supply them with billions of dollars, as he done to the U.S. stock market for so many years. We need the Lord to do it for Israel, my brother and sister, because after the war with Iran and all these countries, they will be financially hurt like you could not even imagine. It's going to take the list of their billions of dollars. They have trillions, I know. But it's going to take them a lot of money to be able to keep that fighting daily. It takes billions of dollars and lots of life. But with the Lord's protection, life can be preserved. But they're going to lose a lot. A lot, my brother and sister. A lot. Because that's what the final battle is going to be. Man, so he comes with the Gentile host army. And the holy city shall they tread under their foot for 42 months. It was like King Nebuchadnezzar when he came with his army in the times of Jeremiah. They tread the land underfoot with a huge army that King Nebuchadnezzar came and surrounded Jerusalem. Surrounded the Jewish people. And it was all because of the Hezekiah, idolatry king, and the rest of the people that follow his idolatry and refused to repent through the word of the prophet Jeremiah. But they came with a large army and threatened the land. And so in the Antichrist comes the same like King Nebuchadnezzar, with mighty army, Chinese army, which they're going to cross on dry water, the Bible says. The Euphrates River will dry up. So that million army, 5 million army, crosses, my brother and sister. You notice that after Russia and China fight the U.S., China still has a 5 million army, strong. How is that possible, my brother and sister? Because on the way it's going to be done, it will be quickly. A lot of people don't realize that. They've been studying this nation for so many years. When they go against, it's going to be quickly. Severe, done, my brother and sister. And so then they stay strong. China and Russia stay strong. And the Antichrist uses their army to go against Israel. That will be the biggest mistake of their life. President Putin and President Xi Jinping are going to make the biggest mistake of their life. Yes, God has given America unto them, but not Israel. When they go against Israel, oh, my Lord, the biggest slaughter of captain and strong. You can read it in Revelation 19. They're going to be cut to pieces by the Lord and his army. Cut to pieces, each and one of them. All of them. None are going to escape. My brother and sister, God can use a nation in a moment. In another moment, he can destroy it completely, utterly destroy it. That's going to happen to China and Russia. But here's the mystery. Japan is going to join them. My brother and sister. I saw the flag of even France, Germany, when they were going against Israel. Other nations are going to join them. Why are those nations still strong in the Great Tribulation and joining China and Russia and them, the coalition? Because they are going to betray the United States. That's why. When Russia and China go against them, they're not going to help them. They're not going to support them. They're going to turn their back. My brother and sister, and everyone knows this. Not everyone knows this, but God has been revealing it to his servants, the prophet, because this is what's going to happen. My brother and sister, many nations are going to go against Israel. My brother and sister, okay? It's a different when God gives a nation unto another nation. Like when God gave Israel in the time to Jeremiah and to the Hena king of Nebuchadnezzar, there was nothing they could do. They sent word to Egypt to try to get support because Egypt had a large army. Nope. The Egyptians did not help them, my brother and sister. No. When God gives a nation after giving the United States to them, he gave Israel to them by that time, they got utterly destroyed. My brother and sister, they all were killed. All the soldiers were killed. My brother and sister, very few remain alive. And so people that seen the invasion, I seen the invasion even on North Korea when China and Russia invade here. And I saw the soldier here killing people left or right, just shooting them on the head. Well-trained soldier, well-armed, well-skilled, just taking people out quickly. It's sad that many people will rise here and try to defend themselves with their pride. Oh, I will advise them to trust the Lord. When the Lord showed it to me, I didn't even know how to speak it out. I still have a hard time explaining it because I know there's still a lot of pride for people here and think that America's going to be great again. Greatly destroyed yet, but not great. My brother and sister, sad to say it. What a great nation this is. Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 day, club and sackcloth. The last 3 years belong to Elisha, I believe it's Enoch, to prophesy for the last 3 years. And they're going to come a time they're going to even be killed also, because they need to die, like just Moses and then die. My brother and sister. But they're given power to prophesy. Notice that even to prophesy, God gives you power. A lot of people don't like prophet. Because when the prophet has the power from God to speak, it really bothers the flesh. It really bothers the flesh. My brother and sister. Because it's power. Hallelujah. Against the flesh. The flesh likes to be in control. And when a prophet speaks with the power of God, it bothers the flesh. It hurts the flesh. My brother and sister. Sorry, people say, I don't know when you say these things, it's hurt me so much, Brother Elvie. It hurts the flesh because the power of God is empowering the flesh. It goes over the power of the flesh. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And these are two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God on the earth. Notice how God described them to be. My brother and sister, how you and I, how they are standing, we are standing. Jesus described us to be in a lamb that cannot be hidden, that has to be in the open as we are tonight in the open, as a lamb for God. My brother and sister, that's how we are seen in the spirit, a lamb for God. That's why the demon hate us, because they see a lamb in us lit it up all day long. That's why they hate us. These two olive trees are the two candlesticks. We are seeing a candlestick, hallelujah, standing before God of the earth, hallelujah, true, lit it up on fire for the Lord, some people say. That's how we are seeing, my brother and sister. Exactly what we are seeing. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Verse 5, if any of these two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. Hallelujah. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth. Thank you, Lord. And this is why we need to be careful what we say, pronounce, or confess, or declare. Because we are candlestick before God. We are on fire for God. Any word that we speak against someone, that person will be heard. It will be heard, my brother and sister, one way or another. If you declare someone to be in whatever, I'm not going to say anything, because I don't want to declare anything over nobody. It will come to pass. We have that authority in the Lord. He's been given to us, his servant, his prophet, my brother and sister. They've been given power to prophesy. The Lord has given us power to prophesy. And whatever we declare over people, it will come. My brother and sister, we need to be careful what we say. And any man will hurt and fire proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemy. See that? You declare a word over fire over someone, it will devour the person. It will cut the person off. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I guess I would someone say, Brother, you remember so-and-so that were coming against you? There was a brother from New York. He made a video on YouTube calling me a false prophet. Wow. And someone gave me the link, and I saw it. Wow. But he didn't say he went to the Lord or nothing. He decided to call me a false prophet, and the outcome, what happens to him, I think it was his apartment came, turned on fire while he was in it, my brother and sister. It just caught fire, boom. And, yeah, I believe he was hurt from it. And no one heard from him anymore after that, my brother and sister. I don't know how. It's just what the last thing I heard from him. Hallelujah. His whole apartment went on fire. Where he got injured and hurt. And no one heard any more from him. Second degree fire is very dangerous. Some people are taken to the hospital and there. My brother and sister. Very dangerous. Now, I don't know for what reason he made the video calling me a false prophet. Because he didn't say in the video, oh, I went to the Lord and the Lord told me so. Okay? That's why I tell you, calling someone a false prophet, especially if it's someone of God, you can get into so much trouble with the Lord. So much, so much, so much. So I heard of people calling me false prophet that are cut off. They've been cut off from life, my brother and sister. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. I have not pronounced anything over their life, but the Lord has taken vengeance on them, my brother and sister. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. I seen this. My brother and sister. As a man of God, as a woman of God, you will get hurt when someone calls you a false prophet. Because they're not hearing it from the Lord. It's coming out of their own flesh, their own thing, and their own heart. And that is so dangerous. A lot of people are not trained. David, when Saul was persecuting him to kill him, David said he will not rise against the Lord anointed one. That was a sign of humility in David and respect on whom God have anointed. A lot of people in their opinion can say David, because he was anointed by Samuel, could have taken a sword and taken the life of King Saul. Especially in the cave when he cut off some of his garment, I believe it was. He could have just killed him right there, ended up his life, and that's it. And so a lot of people think that probably would have been okay with God. But the reality is David had no right to vengeance himself because the Lord says vengeance is mine. You see? So you need to know the word, the heart of God, because the word of God is the heart of God. God says a vengeance is his. What are people doing taking vengeance themselves? We don't take vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You let the Lord deal with them because the Lord knows the heart, my brother and sister. There was a brother on Facebook, I shared a testimony that called me a false prophet, even a sister. And the Lord visited him and said, and the Lord says to him, if he didn't repent, he was going to take his life, the Lord says to him. Because you called my servant a false prophet, Jesus says to him. He was stunned how the Lord fought for me. He told me this himself in his own writing, how the Lord let him know that he didn't repent, that he was going to lose his own life, my brother and sister, and that he lost many things, including his marriage, his family, for calling me a false prophet, he said. In his own word, his own writing, he said this to me. It's not that I wish it this way. No, he wrote it to me when in his life. And it happened quickly, surely. Another sister the same. My brother and sister, my Lord, my God, have mercy. Verse says, these have power to shut heaven. Hallelujah. Notice how those hurricanes that were coming to the island a few days ago, they said it will be mightier than this other one that went by. And we pray, see how quickly they was dissipated. Second day, they were gone. God has given us power for this. This hurricane that just came, that kept going through the eons now, I didn't pray against the hurricane. I did not pray. And I'm sorry because I didn't, because we didn't think it was going to be a hurricane. We didn't think it was going to be bad. It was under, far away from the islands. And we took it for granted. Look where it is now. About to enter Florida tonight, tomorrow. My brother and sister. If we would have rebuked it, it would have also dissipated. Nothing would have happened. But look, we left it looking out. The power that God has given us, the church, you and I, has the same power. Believe it, receive it, confess it, declare it. God says you have it, you have it. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You got the power of God in you already. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you have it. That's why you're going home in the rapture. He's going to raise you in the same Spirit because you have it. That's why the Lord surprised Al. Remember when the Lord was speaking to me about this? You, my people, could have come together when that typhoon was destroying the Philippines and rebuking it will become be nothing. Time when the Lord spoke this to me. But it's true. He told me that's true. My brother and sister, he has given us the power. Whether we use it or not, it's up to us. All we have to do, come here together, rebuke the typhoon or nothing. Not one person right here. It killed. I think it was over 100 people in the Philippines. My brother and sister. We would have rebuked, no one would have been hurt. No one. Now look at the damage this is going to cause in Florida. My brother and sister. It's incredible. That could have been avoided. Okay? That could have been avoided. I hope that when we go to heaven, the Lord doesn't rebuke us and say, oh, you should have rebuked this. Should have never been. So these are power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the day of their prophesy, and have power over the water to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all the plague as they often will. God is saying to you and I have given you power to will, to pray for things that you will them not to be, and they will not be. But it has to be out of your own choice, your will. To do so. If they choose not to declare any judgment, no judgment. That's it. But if they choose to declare judgment, it will happen. My brother and sister. Like the Lord told me about people taking it by seeing, they took it out of their own will. God has given us a will that we can declare victory, or you can declare whatever you want. It's your will. Hallelujah. We need to choose the will of God. And understand that in God we have freedom. He has given us to rebuke these things. We got to do it. We have to practice our faith. My brother and sister, what more powerful to rebuke a hurricane? Tornadoes. My brother and sister, we can be rebuking tornadoes. Hallelujah. You can stand right on the weather channel. When a tornado is forming there, hallelujah, exercise the power God has given you and rebuke them. And watch them come to nothing. If you don't rebuke them, you see them destroying seed in town. But if you rebuke them, they come to nothing. How many Christians we have in the United States? Why is a tornado always destroying houses and all that? When there are Christians in those states, they're not exercising the power that God has given them. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit in them, has been given to them. With that same power, they can rebuke this tornado to become nothing, and they will become nothing. But they're crossing their hand and like, oh, poor people, poor town, poor city. Look how much damage it's causing. But they're not exercising the power and authority that God has given them. My brother and sister, they're not exercising it. They're not. You heard me declaring that those hurricanes that were coming to the island be nothing, and they became nothing in front of your eye. Do we have the power? Yes, we do. We need to exercise what God has given us, my brother and sister. Pastor Bagley, when that first typhoon went to the Philippines, oh, the weather, Sean was saying that the second is going to be worse, that it's gaining too much strength. Oh, this is going to destroy the Philippines. And we stand on the Lord's tower, and we rebuke it, and it became nothing. The weather channel became to shame. Nothing. The power that God has given. How many brothers and sisters we got in the Philippines? Look what happened in Pakistan. My brother and sister, the rain. They could have rebuked that. No rain anywhere. No, the whole city flowing. Car flowing in the rain. When they had the power to rebuke that. My brother and sister, we're putting the Lord to shame down here. We're shaming the Lord with our behavior. He gives you the power. He gives you the authority. The authority, use it in the name of the Lord. Rebuke whatever's coming to your land and your town. You're here on the weather channel. Oh, tomorrow there's a hurricane come. Stand there. You're in Florida right now? Are you in Florida right now? They're telling you the hurricane's coming tomorrow. I want to see you standing and rebuking the hurricane. Go ahead. Go ahead. God's giving you the authority. Don't let the hurricane come into Florida and destroy you. Okay? Don't let it, because if it happens, and you are a Christian who has the Holy Spirit, you are letting it. It's happening under your watch. Your watch is happening because you have the authority to rebuke it. Okay? You can call a brother or sister, write to a brother or sister, can you join me in this? Can we rebuke this hurricane so we're not here in Florida tomorrow and come together and rebuke it and rebuke it? It's gone. It will disappear in the sea somewhere. No harm, no destruction, nothing. But it's on you now. God is testing our faith, my brother and sister. He is testing us through all this. He's allowing these things to happen. Hallelujah. As he said to his disciple, where is your faith? He says to them, where is your faith? Hallelujah. That's the question right now. Where's your faith? People in Florida, where's your faith? Don't tell me that the authority is telling you to move to God because it's coming and you have to move and you have to be obedient to the law. Yeah, I'm not telling you not to be obedient to the law. I am telling you that God's giving you the authority to rebuke that hurricane that is coming to rebuke Ian. It's Ian coming from the pit of hell against your life. Stand against Ian, bind Ian, and rebuke Ian from where he came to go back in Jesus' name. Watch it go. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. You have the authority. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Yahshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. My brother and sister, don't let it. Don't let it. Stand. Stand in the name of the Lord. Stand on his word. Begin to rebuke it tonight so it will not be there tomorrow. It's on you. It's coming to your house. It's coming to your land. Rebuke it in the name of the Lord and watch it go. Watch it go away. Watch it go maybe to the Gulf of Mexico. But rebuke it out. Cast it out in the name of the Lord and it will obey you. It will obey you in the name of the Lord. Nothing can come against that name. That name above all name. God has given you the authority, the power to do so. Hallelujah. You don't need to call anybody else to do it. You do it. You're there. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. There's doubt and unbelief among the people. Hallelujah. So use the authority and the power the Lord has given them. You have it. Use it. Use it for the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You don't need to have Elisha back. Hallelujah. And Enoch could come and do this for you when God has given you the power and the authority to do so. Jesus went to the cross already. Hallelujah. He's given you the same power and the same authority. You want me to give you hundreds of Bible verses that say so, that you have the same power and the same authority? Read your Bible. Open it up. Open it up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Open your Bible up. We'll go back to Revelation 11. Let's finish it up. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. So much power, so much authority. God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. has given his people, praise you, Lord, hallelujah, that they're not using. Praise you, Lord. They're not using it. They're not using it. Hallelujah. Then how can we sit there and complain to the Lord when we're not using what the Lord has given us, my brother and sister? Huh? If we're not using it, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devil, and they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Someone has seen devil behind hurricanes. Hallelujah. There's even foreign video online, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Rebuke it, brother. You have the power and authority. Rebuke a devil, demon. And your job in Jesus' name. A devil. 9/11 was devils. The brother that attacked the United States. You can see the demon in the smoke. Devil. So if Ian is a demon, if Ian coming to Florida is a principality, and God has given you the power and the authority to rebuke them, if you don't rebuke this principality of Ian that is coming to Florida as a hurricane, my brother and sister, you're not using the power and authority that God has given you, my brother and sister. These signs shall follow them that believe. If you're doubting, if you're moving in unbelief, if you're not believing, you're not going to rebuke it. But if you're believing God, okay, in the name of the Lord, you will cast out devils, and you will speak in your tongue. Name of the Lord, you will. You will cast out this devil of Ian coming to Florida, my brother and my sister. You will if you're there. If you're in Florida right now listening, you need to get into prayer with the Lord. You need to bind that devil, that principality of Ian, and rebuke him back to the sea. He has no right. He has no authority over your life, over your house, over your land. You need to rebuke it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And they shall take off serpent. And if they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. I was in terrible pain this week, past few days in my leg. And I began to, hallelujah, proclaim healing in the name of the Lord by the stripe of Jesus. And my healing came so powerful. And over my leg, I had no pain. No pain, my brother and sister. It just, the Lord just took all pain from my leg, my brother and sister. It is gone. It is just gone completely. I started claiming in the name of the Lord, gone. All the pain is gone. I had terrible pain to walk, to move. It's gone, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God, my brother and sister. You see this? He spoke these words, and he went and sat at the right hand of God. Praise you, Jesus. He's watching and waiting for you to act, for you to move, for you to speak. Hallelujah. For you to do what he told us to do, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. He already said what we need to do. He already said what his people need to do. Now they need to do it. Shalom, shalom.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain, I will rise.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel today. Today is September the 26th of 2022. I'd like to share another word with you the Lord has given me that I hope will encourage you to stay strong in this day. As I have mentioned in a previous video, the word of the day has not been posted to my website recently, and I apologize for any inconvenience that may be causing any of you who relied on this service. My hope is that in the future I can have this up and running again to make the word available in a printable format. Just a shout of thanks out to those who have been staying with me, even though these videos have been fairly sporadic through the weeks. I thank you for your support, for your comments, for your interaction. And my prayer continually is that those who hear these words will be blessed by them. And in the light of that, I would like to introduce the word for today. This word today speaks of those who are sending out the word of the Lord, whether it is through a prophetic ministry or some other form of distribution, because the Lord's intention is that his word goes forth in this day. And as we will see in this word, there is a confirmation that the Lord is sending out a warning to prepare people for his return. Yes, we do not know the day or the hour, but there are many who are watching the signs of the times, and many who are theologians who have studied the prophecies in the Bible and are coming to the conclusion that the time of the Lord's return is very soon. Many of us have wondered, how is it that the Lord is bringing restoration, that he is taking his people into the promised land, that he is promising blessings and security in this world that is falling apart? But in this word today, some light is being shed. These things are all coming into place, and the kingdom of God will be established throughout the earth, with righteousness restored in the land. However, the question is timing. When will these things take place? In receiving a prophetic word, it seems that these things are taking place now, and yet our timing is not necessarily in sync with God's timing. And so our understanding of the times and events taking place may not be completely accurate. One thing we do know for sure is the Lord is coming, that he is returning, and that he is preparing his remnant bride to be with him. And though this word speaks of a great tribulation coming to pass, we can be assured the Lord has prepared his ark to bring to safety those who are trusting in him. I hope this word today will encourage every one of you hearing it. Its title is A Time of Great Tribulation. I'll begin by reading scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. This scripture reference speaks of the Lord's return. but it also speaks of the rapture of the church. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This scripture speaks of the word of God and how the word of God gives direction and leads in the right direction. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This scripture speaks of the power of God's word, that it discerns the matters of the heart. Isaiah 55, verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This scripture also speaks of the word of God, that the Lord sends his word out to accomplish his purposes. I'll begin reading this word. This is the day of the Lord's favor. Every high and lofty thing is coming down. Every low place is being raised up. The way is being made ready for the Lord's return. Enter through the narrow way, for the wide way leads to destruction, and many are they that go this way. Let go of wicked ways, everything that does not please the Lord. For in this day the wicked ways of men will be revealed. Every lying spirit is being captured and brought into submission under the Lord's feet. Every vile thing will be seen for what it is, as the eyes of the blind are being opened to see the folly of the ways of men. I am increasing the velocity of the winds of my spirit in this day, says the Lord. Every covering will be stripped away to expose evil in the hearts of men. Every false concept will be exposed and brought under submission to the Lord. Those who have been caught prey to the father of lies and have believed the lies of the enemy have been trapped. They have been deceived and have walked in darkness, held captive and unable to go on in the things of God. But I am bringing the light of understanding into their midst. They will clearly see the error of their ways and turn and be brought in line with the word of the Lord. Keep the fire of the Spirit burning. Add precept upon precept. You are being built into a structure built by God, the Master Builder. The deep things of the Spirit are being revealed in this day, for I am doing a deeper work than any man can see. I am subjecting every unrighteous judgment made by men to the Lordship of Jesus. The accuser of the brethren is being cut off, no longer able to hinder my elect from going forward in the power and anointing of my Spirit. Every enemy shall be put under your feet. Fire is being sent from heaven, and it will burn the sacrifice. What is left will be incorporated into the structure I am building in this day, says the Lord. You will reap where you have not sown if you put your hope in me. You will see the loss coming from far and wide, being herded up, gathered up in this day, for I am the good shepherd, and I am bringing the sheep home. If you love me and keep my commandment to love one another, you will reap a great harvest of souls, for I am putting the sickle into your hands, and you shall reap of the fields which are ready to be harvested. Coming is a day of great trial and tribulation,